Amen. This far, I hope you've had a great time of worship. Thank you, everyone, for just what you do to make this happen. But before I get into the message, I have a few things to get to. One, we got a survey guard last week. We got a lot of information. That is work to work with. We're going to implement some quickly. Some will take some time to work with until it comes to that level. Amen? So we're working with that information. Secondly, we have ourselves visitors visiting from Vietnam. And let's welcome Tang and Song from Vietnam. If you ever go to Vietnam, you have some people you know. All right. We also have a brother and sister and two children placing membership, and that is Alex and Tinila Bunema, and the two girls, Kamwanya and Misenga. Amen, amen. And that's not all. We got a baptism coming on today in the afternoon. Oh, yes. Jennifer Rodriguez. Where is she? She's getting baptized today at 4 p.m. at the King's Pool House. Is Jennifer here? Oh, just you want to stand up? Just in case you didn't know who she is. All right. Okay. That's great. We've been talking about obeying God, and that's what today we're going to finish that topic, that theme this month. And I want to talk today based on Hebrews, but hold firmly onto Jesus. Holding firmly onto Jesus is a hard thing to do. And the context of what we'll talk about today is the Hebrew people that, because it's all based on the book of Hebrew today, that they were converted out of Judaism. And as life played out onto them and different things happened to them, they were very tempted to go back to that Judaism or try and mix Judaism and Christianity. That is something we all struggle with. There's something you came from. Though you're a Christian today, you were called from something. Maybe you're a religious person before you came to God. And now that you're called to practice the Bible, maybe when things get too hard, you try to go back to that. Maybe you came from a background of anger. And the way you dealt with things is when things were too hard on you, you went back to anger. Maybe you came from a background of just hatred. That when things got so hard, you just went back to hating things. Or maybe you came from dealing with things like, there are many ways we deal with difficulty. And we tend to go back to that when life is not making sense. Sense in the sense of, but I'm a Christian. Why am I experiencing this? The Hebrew Christians were having the same challenge, that things weren't pulling together. And so obeying God in those times can be difficult. And they were trying to go back to what they knew. And so in chapter 1 and chapter 2, they're really called not to drift, because it's easy to drift. I think one of the things that as Christians we don't watch out about is that we just drift. And when you're drifting, you're not aware that you're moving away from God. Because the illusion of being with God and going to church and doing things for God may make you think that you're really in love with God. But that's not happening. And so they're called there not to drift. And by chapter 3, they're being called in verse 13, it says, make that nobody is hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That something can happen to us as Christians that we can get hardened. We're hardened by sin so that we no longer have that soft heart that God can walk with. And sin is deceitful because it tells you a lie. The Bible tells us when the devil speaks, he speaks a lie. And that is his native language. That he can deceive us so quietly. Before we know it, Yes, we come to the body of Christ, but our hearts, our minds have left to a certain place, to a certain degree. So it's important to come back so that God can use us, as we heard today, as we sang today, that use me, God. That doesn't happen if our sin's deceitfulness has hardened us. And that can happen to anyone, myself included, that gradually you can just keep going and not knowing that you argue with God, you don't respond to God, that obeying God is a hard thing for you. And that when that happens, over time, you lose your faith. Even though you're here, you lose your faith. You're no longer having the vision of what God can do. You just think, well, I need to hold on until when Jesus comes or until when I die. And that's not the goal of us being Christians, is for God to use us well. So I don't have points. We're just going to go through it. Okay? If you're waiting for points, you'll pick some up as we go forward. So he says, so then since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. That's our faith in Jesus Christ. We believe in Jesus, Jesus being Lord. Then he says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. I hope that is comforting to you. That whatever weaknesses you have, Jesus went through that. He was tested. He faced everything. Is it lust? He tested. He was tested with that. Is it giving up? He was tested with that. Is it fear? That was there. He faced everything you're going through. He was tested with shame, guilt, not believing in yourself, not knowing I can do this. All that stuff, Jesus was given. The devil tried him with all that testing. You can read Luke chapter 4 and see how he's tested. And then look at his life and how he's tested on the cross and even in other places. He was tested. Jesus faced everything you're facing today. Even what you're facing this morning, Jesus faced that. So he understands. It's not this lofty God that you cannot reach. He totally understands how you feel. He understands your anxieties. He understands your desperation. He understands you just wanting not to try. He understands that, but he still reaches out to you. That is something we need to get down. That Jesus totally gets it where you are right now. Because sometimes we think, but does God really know how I feel? Oh, yes, he did. He does. The Bible says clearly, this high priest, you have to understand the high priest was chosen from people. If you had a high priest, the person that was chosen was Aaron. So in a Judaized thinking, Aaron was the kind of priest, a guy that was chosen that understands our situation so that when he went in there, he was able to walk with them and he understood them. And I'll get to that in a moment. But then we'll see what kind of priest is Jesus. So he says this, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most. That because this God we worship, because Jesus understands how we feel this morning, this week, that we can come to God boldly, boldly, with great confidence that, you know what? He understands, then we can receive mercy. Not to stay in sin, not to keep going in that desperation and giving up, but rather that we come to him so that we can find grace we needed to overcome. Let's talk about that for a moment. This morning, many of us need to make a bold step to move to God. A bold step to repent of some sins. A bold step to overcome whatever is holding you back from God. If you're visiting, God understands your situation. You need to make that bold step of studying the Bible and making a decision that Jesus is Lord. If you've been a disciple, but you have some sins in your life, you need to make that bold step of repenting, talking about it and getting help and repenting. Because God says,
There you will receive mercy. And we will find grace to help us. Not to beat ourselves down and to stay in the same place, but to find grace to help us to say, God, I can overcome this. Not tomorrow. The decision, you make it now. As we speak, you've got to take that bold step of God. Surely you understand. You know what I need to do. So how can I come to you? Now, when you come to God, for some of us, it's that our situations will take a longer time. But you took the bold step of coming to God. You begin the walking out process. Right? For some of us, it's a healing situation. Some of us, we got to just, God, I need to walk with this to a point where I feel, I know you're with me on this one, but I need to come around. We need to start that walk today. So, they will receive mercy and find grace to help us when we need it most. Do you get to this place where sometimes you think nobody understands? Nobody understands. Because when you talk to people, they tend to judge or tell you what you should do. And all you're looking for is, can they understand? I hope as a church and we study safe people, we are being safe. Amen? Well, I've got more believers this side. Amen? We got to be safe. Amen? We've got to be safe with this stuff. It's scriptural. We got to walk to be safe. Does that make sense? Then we can talk about this stuff and heal and move forward. We cannot just do things to get through a program. It's not to get through a program. Or we finish the book before the end of December. No, that's not the point. The point is that we were transformed by the Spirit that comes through the Word of God and we became different people. But what work have you done on your part? Because the church is us. The church is not me. I'm part of that finger, something. I don't know. Hair. Something. What are you doing on your part? We got to repent. The grace is waiting for us. We shut down because we've never understood the power of Jesus Christ. And we shut down because we've never understood that He can relate with how we feel. We shut down because we isolate from the grace of Jesus Christ. And we shut down because we think it's shameful, it's guilt. He offers mercy, He offers hope, He offers grace. That's what the cross offers. And that's what the Jewish people are losing and going back to their legalistic way of worship. And He was calling them back to faith. Every high priest is a man chosen to represent other people in the dealings with God. This is where I was going about Aaron, that he was chosen to help the people, to help the community deal with God. As you know the story that back in the Old Testament, the reason this story in Hebrew is told like this, because the understanding of worship was, you have to have a high priest that you go through. So as he's telling the story, he's weaving it with how they understand their worship with God. He said every high priest is chosen from a people to represent them in the matters of God, dealing with God. He presents their gift to God and offers sacrifice to their sins. That you had to go through this high priest. This was in their ways. That would be Aaron. And then he comes here and says, he is able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subjected to the same weakness. The reason they chose a man and he had to come from the line of Aaron was that the person understood and he could deal with you. And yet, so he tells this story to help them see that Jesus can do that even better. And he goes on to say that he dealt with people gently, those that were ignorant. That it's possible you're sinning because you're ignorant. You don't know what God wants of you, so you're ignorant. And this morning, I hope that you begin to understand and not be in an ignorant space. To a place of, who is Jesus really? As a Christian, who is he for you? He understands, he wants to deal with you gently. For some of us, because we think, man, if I talk about this, someone's going to not be gentle with me. No, he's supposed to deal with you gently. Galatians 6 tells us, gently. So, we are held back because we think nobody will deal with us gently. So, you're anxious. You want to deal with things, but you're so anxious. It says, what will people think about me? But high priest was supposed to be gentle as he dealt with sin. Do you know that that's the biggest holding factor of human beings? What will people think about me? That's always the biggest factor. We always ask that question, right? Can I tell you something? People think about you and think about you anyway. Whether you like it or not, they do. You walk by, they're thinking about you. How they dress, how they walk, what's wrong with them. They think about you. So you're only holding yourself back. You know, yesterday I was coming from Minneapolis from the African Missions Association's meeting. And I was at the airport talking. And this lady walked up to me. Things were falling over. And she thought, oh, I'm clumsy. I said, no, I can help. Sit by. We started talking. Oh, I just came to see. And she started talking about her daughter. And there were people acting like they were very serious, but they were hearing everything we were talking about. I looked up and I said, they're actually listening to everything we're talking about. And I was telling them, she says, you know, I struggle with this, I struggle with that. I said, you know, and I said, you can read this. Do you go to church? Yes, I go to church. And I started talking about that. And I thought of myself, and I said, you know, I told her, I don't mind talking to people. I think it's a healthy thing. Everybody's on the phone right now. Let's talk to one another. We had a good conversation, and I don't know what God will do with that, but I just talked about what I do in the ministry and all that. And I did a lot of that yesterday on the plane. I tried to talk to my neighbor. Others wanted to watch the movie, so I was getting in the way, and I had to get away of that movie and say, okay, and it'll be quiet. But the point is, I'm trying to make is that we are afraid about what people think of us to the point we don't talk to them anymore. And we make excuses for them. They're on the phone. They're doing this. Talk to them. They'll let you know, thank you very much. I need to get on my phone. That's okay. Don't get take it personally. Yeah, let them get. We've already said what we got to do. Let's get on with what God wants us to do. You see, if you're afraid of what people think of you, maybe that is your religion of Judaism, just like they were. Maybe that's your religion. You go back so much to that because that is what you think. What do people think about you? I mean, let's talk about those of us who are going to school, the young guys. You go to school, maybe, and you have all these kids that make fun of you, and they make you feel like you're not good enough. No, they're trying to cope with their insecurity. You're okay. Talk to your daddy and mommy. They'll let you know you're okay. You're fine. Don't hold on that stuff. How do I look? What dress did I come in with? They try to get you in that. Don't hold on those things. That's just another religion of how we look. And we're held back with that religion. What shoes do I have? What brand do I have? You know, I can tell you, in 2 years' time, there'll be a different brand. Oh, forget 2 years. At the end of this year. It'll be done. And it goes on to form. No. We've got to come here. He'll be gentle. Ignorant. People who are ignorant, he'll deal with them gently. Wayward people because of himself subject to same weakness. In other words, Jesus was like a rock that went through a hurricane and tasted all the waters and everything that comes with that hurricane. But it was not moved. After the hurricane, if another rock came and spoke with Jesus about, man, I was in that hurricane and I was thrown over there, he can understand that. He understands that hurricane effect of what was going on. He totally gets it. He can understand that, you know, you can just get tired and fed up with it. He understands that, but you don't have to. You've got to stick with me. And that's what Jesus would say. That is why he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as theirs. That particular human priest could do that. But for the sake of Jesus, he goes beyond that. He didn't sin. He experienced everything mankind could, but he did not sin because he was the Lord. But he can relate with all of us. There is something that gets in the way of our worship with God. Many of us are socialized to fear God, a reverence of God, but reverence to a point of alienating ourselves from God. Reverence to a point of not being real with God. Reverent to a point of creating another religion over what we're really reading in the Bible. I mean, again, as I was flying there, I was talking to a girl who I think was coming out of college. She's a millennial or something. We talked. And I was intrigued because she was reading a book. I said, your generation is with this stuff is different. And I said, okay, just educate me a little bit. And she was reading a book that says depression is contagious. So that intrigued me. I said, tell me about what you're reading. It's about the people and all that stuff. And we got in that conversation. And I said, do you know that one of the reasons people are getting so depressed today is because they spend so much time on internet? She says, yeah, that's true. So she was reading and we got back and forth. So where do you like to be? Do you like to be in Alabama or with your family in Minneapolis? Well, she was torn apart. Sometimes at school, sometimes at home because I like the food. That's what she said. Then I said to myself, so what was going on here? I was trying to understand because I feel like sometimes we can judge younger generations way too much and put them down for their weaknesses and say, oh, they're this and that. We all have our own too, you know that? But we need to understand them and love them and be the priest that can understand their struggles and reach out to them and talk about their challenges. And that is the beauty of a church this diverse. Does that make sense? We can help each other and not put each other down. We can be priests for one another and work with each other in this area of building God's family. And no one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. You don't just become a high priest because I want to be a high priest. It doesn't say that. It says he must be called by God for this work, just as Aaron was. You're a Christian, not by your own working. Jennifer is becoming a disciple today, not by her own working. God has worked there in many, many, many ways. That God, you can't come to God by your own working. God calls you in different ways. And the journey may have started from the day you were born, and you've been trying to figure this out. Maybe you're visiting today. You're on that journey trying to figure out, what does God want from me? Yes, you're a Christian. But there is a journey you have to undertake to know God, even though you're a disciple. But God calls you. Here's the question. Do you hear God's voice when he calls you? Can you hear him? In Samuel, we hear the guy that's been called and they're saying, did you call me? He goes to Samuel. I said, no. When he calls next time, say, speak, Lord. Do you hear God calling? That is where we lose it. We can get so much in our life, just like the Hebrew people are doing, going back to their legalistic living, to a point where they were beginning to lose their faith or trying to mix Christ worship and Judaism. And that can happen to anyone. We can do that. Mix our life here and try to merge it, make it work, and we get very convoluted results when we do that. It says this. He must be called by God for his work, just as Aaron was. That is why Christ did not honor himself by assuming he could become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, you are my son, today I have become your father. That is in Psalms, that you can see Philippians chapter 2, so that he was chosen by God. We are called by God to do what we need to do. If we are called by God, then why do we doubt? What we doubt what God is asking us to do. That you're here in this place because God has predestined that you get here today so that you may hear him. That you leave where you live so that you may hear his voice. Why do we doubt? Why do we let doubt plague our faith so much? You know, you can refuse to hear God to the point of just writing God off. We can make excuses about God. God is this. And that was just going back to Judaism. You go to what is familiar to you, to what you think works for you. No, come to God. When you're totally lost, that is when you go to God. That is when you come that direction because God knows, this is when I will show you who I am. And he was trying to explain to them from their version of, yes, you need to be a high priest. Aaron was your guy. But now Jesus is the person you must come to. And it's different, totally different. But you don't come by your own accord. God enables you. Because in the Old Testament, you sacrifice animals. That was your own energy. And many of us feel frustrated beaten down because we're doing Christianity on a legalistic level. We're not listening to the Spirit. We're reading the Bible, but we're doing that because it feels not right if I've not read the Bible. Not because you need God and there's a desire to connect with Him. I mean, these songs we sung today are amazing. And you have to tune out the noise of the world to hear them. And sometimes I can't help but be quiet because it's too powerful. The words are too powerful. I go quiet to hear the words. And I'm not guilting you if you don't feel like that. I'm just saying we all have a different level. But we got to walk at this thing. So you can't come to God unless God enables you. But to do that, we have to pay attention to what God is saying. And if that is happening, we need to be still and allow Him to walk through our lives. And in another passage, God said to him, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." We all know this story about, this is different. It's not like Aaron. Aaron was from among them. But as Abraham had got victory, a king came out, and it simply means the king of Jerusalem, came out and sacrificed for him. So he's a king. Jesus is a king. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleading with a loud cry and tears to one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. I've already talked about Jesus. Let me come down here. While he was on earth, he offered prayers and pleading with loud cries and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. This is the Lord. And the Bible says, he offered prayers and pleading. You know that our culture does not like pleading. It does not like pleading. Our culture shows confidence. Our culture shows I'm secure. Our culture shows I can take care of myself. People don't want to be helped. Don't be needy. Of course, every extreme has a problem. Confidence is good, but the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that if you do two, one extreme is not good of either. Too needy is another problem as well. You follow that? But it's a healthy place to be where you need God. And he pleaded with God. And God had it. Why? Because of deep reverence for God. So, there's some things here. He offered prayers and pleaded with loud cries. For you to get to that place, you must be desperate. Totally desperate. You've tried everything. You've tried drugs. You've tried medicine. You've tried people. You've tried money. And nothing works. You go to God. You've tried relationships. Nothing works. You go to God. But Jesus was so attuned to that fact. He didn't try those things. He just went to God and was desperate. We try all of the things and we delay the pain. Come to God. And he cried and God heard him. You know, some of us have never cried in your life. You've never cried in your life. You know, God gives you tears for a reason. And God gives you crying for a reason. It's a way to let go. It's a way to grieve. It's okay to cry. I tell people, if you don't know how to cry, maybe you don't know how to laugh. There's a lot of people that don't. If you watch these movies of tough guys, they hardly laugh. It's just boom, boom, boom. You're like, man, is that how you live? That's intense. There's no fun in that kind of living. Honestly, brothers, are you in touch with how you feel? Or is it something you feel like, I cannot show that? I need to be strong for my children, for my wife. It doesn't mean you cannot cry. Strength is not lack of emotion. Understand that. Strength is not lack of emotion. If you don't show emotion, it's going to deal with you. God has given you for a reason. Jesus did it. Death, and he heard him. Why? When you get to that point, when you cry out and you're letting go, reverent submission happens. When you don't do that, you block your connection with God, because it's blocked with anger, with all that holding on, being tight, and you never hear God. It's a hard teaching for some of us. It's upside down. You're raised by your dad saying, don't cry. They spank you and told you don't cry. That's a conundrum. You're putting pain in me and I'm not supposed to cry? And so we grow up confused. It's okay to express how you feel. That is how you connect. You don't connect without expressing. You've got to express how you feel. Okay? And finishing. Going over a little bit. Let's finish here. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest. So the high priest was a man that went in for everyone else. Now he's become the perfect high priest because he understands and he suffered. He understands that. So we can understand. We can now worship. We can really talk through this, all of us. He was the son of God, but how did he learn obedience? Through what he went through. In other words, in this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest and became the source of internal salvation for all those who obey him. And God designated him to be a high priest in order of Melchizedek. So, if he learned obedience from what he suffered, what are you learning? Suffering can harden you. Suffering can soften you. Suffering can make you quite a vengeful person. Why should they have an easy life? I had a tough life. Why can't they get the same tough life? Come to God. Come to Jesus, who was a perfect priest. And after suffering, he became a better person. You know, I've talked to different people. And some people say, man, the Steve you were in the 90s. Man, you were so this, you're so that. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry that's how it came across. God walks on you. What has God been walking on you on? Is there something? Because sometimes he may be walking, but you're not seeing it. I'm calling you now so that you can begin seeing that God is on you right now. He's showing you some things, and we need to make some changes. Let's finish. There's much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You know, we can be spiritually dull. Okay, after flying, I have issues with flying, but anyway, after flying a while, my ears were totally dull. I couldn't hear the stuff properly. So I got in the car and started the car and started driving. I didn't realize that I had left the radio on. I must have been going like 10 miles before I realized, oh, the radio was on. For a while, I said, which car is playing music? I'm looking around. There are no cars around me. Oh, it's coming from my car. That's being dull spiritually. Sometimes God is walking, but your ears are so blocked because of your long flights of going here, going there, not hearing God. And by the time you pay attention, oh my goodness, it's right there. It was right there. I was, what? So I started trying to unblock my ears. I'm like, I need to hear. Maybe I may try to move the other side. The guy's hooting and I'm not hearing it. We need to ask ourselves, is it possible we've gotten so dull? Dull in the area of just being pure with each other. Dull in the way we see things. Have we lost that? Dull and don't seem to listen. If you're dull, you're not listening. You have been believers so long. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to know to do what is right. I think the challenge is that we all need to grow. We all need to grow. It can't be just a certain people, not just the leadership, not just who. We all need to put in work and grow. Amen? If you do, you can help someone else. When you're not doing that, it's hard to help somebody else. I'm not saying you're infants. I'm not saying that. The Bible says that, but there's a place for us to check. Are we still there or are we growing? Does that make sense? God bless you.